Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it is Tuesday night, and that means it is ABCs of Apostleship 2, Discipling Apostolic Christians. And we have been doing a wonderful job. I've been getting texts, email, inboxes, Facebook, etc. You're letting us know that it is working. This is essential to God. If you want God to take back his kingdom, if you want the Lord to put his church in divine order, then this has got to go around the world again and again and again. And the only way we can do that is with you. And you've been doing a wonderful job. We're excited about it. We're going to talk a lot more about how you can get involved. I'm starting to call you. See, now you're getting a call to action from me because I'm starting to call you. Before you get really excited, I want you to go and tell all your friends that ABCs of Apostleship 2 is on. Dr. Price is here, discipling apostolic Christians. If you have an apostle, go and tell your apostles, hey, you want to hear this. If you have an apostle with a network, you want to say, hey, go and send this out, blast this to your network. It won't work for us to continue to complain and not be a part of solution. Many people wonder why God doesn't act in certain situations or in certain periods of time. One of the things the Lord let me know is that when he wrote in his word, the Lord's arm is not so short it cannot save, he wasn't talking about, well, you know, I'm unable. God was saying, but are you able to keep my victory? Are you able to keep my deliverance? Excuse me. And so we have to learn. God will only move once he sets up the system, the keeping force, the maintaining force. It has to happen. And he usually does that before he acts. Most people who know God know that when God starts doing things differently, it's because he's already sent different into the planet. So God is doing things differently. Behold, I do a new thing. Hey, guys, we sang it, we danced it, we slung water and oil over it, we slung cloths and et cetera all over people. We ran up and down the aisle, spun around, twirled. We did our banners. Behold, the Lord says he's doing a new thing. We've done all of the gyrations we can do. It is now time for us to come out of the sanctuary, big party. Okay, we've done the launch party. We've had the big launch party. The big reveal has happened. Now God is ready to move, and he needs you to take off your liturgical wear now, put on some war clothes and some work clothes, and let's make this thing happen. Isn't that good? God needs you. The Lord has need of thee. And God needs you to do the first thing you can do right away, and that is spread the word. The second thing is pick up your part of this trial, pick up a part of this commission, and begin to disciple apostolic Christians in your world, in your church, in your prayer ministry, in your prophetic network, in your intercessors network, your apostolic network, whatever you have. But begin to do this because God can act, but who can keep what he puts into existence? When God delivers you, who will keep you? You know, I'm often reminded of how going back in time when, you know, we had the emancipation, you know, proclamation of emancipation, we freed the slaves, everybody was done, and those people had nowhere to live, nowhere to go, nowhere to work, and nothing to do. Because we neglected to get the population ready for victory and liberty. And so if we're going to have a victorious liberty, we need to get you ready. One of the things apostles are going to do is get you ready before you need to act. If you have to react to what's going on, then you're ill-prepared. We're supposed to be part of the action and, at best, the pro-action. And as part of that pro-action, we have to have you ready to not let God's changes happen to you, but to position you so that they can happen through you. God wants his solutions to happen through his people, not to his people. He wants them to happen to the world, but he wants them to happen through the body of Christ. And we do that by getting you ready. So I'm here every Tuesday. I'm here on Thursdays. getting you ready for what I already know God has done. Now, some of you are new to Him, so welcome aboard. I'm so glad you joined us. Go again by now. I know I already got you stirred up. So go and tell your friends, this woman is different. No, it's not the same old thing. And I want you to go and invite them and share this. Just keep sharing and sharing. If you're apostles, I need you. This is a work. God has an apostolic collegiate. He has a college of apostles. This whole Lone Ranger individual, this, you know, we have networks. God never did. He had a college, a collection of apostles that worked in synergy with what he's doing. And so it's us. It's going to take us because we're the ones that were absent. When I finish with tonight's teaching, you will appreciate what I'm talking about. But go and start getting ready. If you haven't ordered your book, we're going to read the book in a moment. Get online and order the book. Now, let me say hello to all of my drop-ins. All right, some of my folks who dropped in, because I have a couple of drop-ins. Who do I have on there?
Oregon.
I've got Oregon. Hi, Oregon. Yes.
Louisiana's in the house.
Ah.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Ooh.
Indianapolis.
Oh, Indianapolis. All right, we're moving on. You know, I like to say hello to see who's checking in. So everyone knows that this is not just one little thing that's happening over in the corner. This is happening around the world, and you have a family that's mobilizing to make sure that what God needs to get done happens. What else do we have over there?
New Mexico.
Hey, New Mexico. Haven't heard that for a while. Hi. Greetings in Jesus' name.
Jacksonville, Atlanta, Tampa, woo, Cincinnati, God's Harvest Church in Cincinnati, Paris, Tennessee.
Wow. Paris and Cincinnati. Haven't had a lot of Cincinnati folks. Okay, Detroit, I haven't heard from you yet, you know. All right, I just want you to understand because I got a mandate for Detroit, so I expect Detroit to just continue to check in and let me know that you're here. I need you to pray for me so we can get me into your region. We can do what God wants to do. Hallelujah.
Trinidad family.
Hi, Trinidad. You are my future vacation spot. Hallelujah. You know, when I want to go and cool and unwind, I'm coming to visit you all in the Trinidad people. What else we have?
New Brunswick, Canada.
Right. Do you know I had the most delightful time on my trips to Canada? I used to come all the time. I was one of those. I was a regular guest on the Miracle Channel for quite a few times. Love this. And so thank you for tuning in. Love you. Make sure you let Canada know. I love them. I miss them. I'm praying for them. Hallelujah.
All right. We got a roll call over here. Kansas City, Missouri. Okay. Arizona, Fort Lauderdale, Jacksonville, Seattle, Clarksville, Tennessee. As always.
As always.
Equipping the Saints Ministry. Okay.
Okay.
In.
And thanks for letting me know so I can remember Clarksville, Tennessee.
That's right.
As always. I love it. I love you as always. I love the family. I love our team. I think what we're doing is great things. And even when you're on, you know, hey, guys, stay connected. You know, stay connected. When you go back and you know these people, or let's stay connected and let's begin to push this thing forward as one. Glory to God. So let's go to the book, this wonderful book, ABCs of Apostleship, Book 2, Discipling Apostolic Christians. Why are we doing this, Dr. Bryce? Why do we need apostolic Christians? Well, because we don't have many. Now, I'm basic. I could be a real basic girl. We don't have many, and we need them because it's the apostolic Christian that is going to push forward the kingdom. The prophetic Christian pushing forward the kingdom. There are those who push forward the church, and there is nothing wrong with that. But when the church comes under attack, come on, somebody. Ooh, Lord, the fire of God is all over me. I'm telling you, the sparks are running all over the place. Hallelujah. This is near and dear to Jesus. This is a passion right now. This is powerful in his heart. And anybody who has a close relationship with the Lord, you know I'm right. When the church comes under assault, God has to turn to the kingdom to put that head back around. Because the way the gates of hell will not prevail against the church is that the kingdom stays fortified and populated and pushing forward and its protection and its guardianship of the church. The kingdom is supposed to guard the church. Hallelujah. See, we got, because you can have a kingdom without churches, but you can't have churches without a kingdom. You know, oftentimes we like to talk about all the wonderful religious leaders that helped the church go get established. We want to talk about Luther. We want to talk about Tyndale, Wycliffe, and all of those. And those are great people. But do you know what they had? They needed for it to work. They needed people and governmental authority to authorize them so they'd stop being destroyed. See, we don't think properly. That's why you think your votes don't matter. Your votes matter. And you know why they matter? Because your votes matter because the kingdom is taking up this job to protect the church. The reason the church has come under such attack is because the kingdom leaders, the kingdom shields have been down. And those shields are your apostles and your prophets because we are kingdom agents. You people, shut up. Help me, Lord. Just give me a minute. I got to go up to a little phrase. Just a couple seconds. Hallelujah. Every now and then, Jesus liked those little sugar praises. So, you know, I got to give him a sugar praise. Y'all got a sugar praise for the Lord? Just send him up some sugar praise. He likes sugar praise. You know, if you're going to be the bride of Christ, we're going to be the man's wife, the least we can do is have some affection for him. Wouldn't that be nice? Hallelujah. So I'm real affectionate to Jesus Christ. I want him to know, I want him to feel affection all the time. So we're just going to change this cold and different wife routine, and we're going to be the affectionate bride of Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to be the affectionate wife of God, and he's going to feel warm and fuzzy. He already got a world that hates him. Could it not be at home? Can he come home to something sweet? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody just sending it up right there. I know, sending them some sugar praise.
Emoji praise.
Yeah, I love that. Come on, and don't lose those emoji praise. Yeah, I love them. Send them up. He needs them, honey. He needs sugar love. This man is fighting some mighty battles for us. He's fighting some awesome battles for us, and he needs us to know it. So you have to recognize that why is God pushing apostleship? Why is he pushing the prophetic? Why is he pushing apostolic Christians? Because you are the force. There is something in us that kept this thing, that founded this thing and kept it going, that took the hits and came back, got better for the battle and not worse. We didn't bow out. We just got better and pushed forward. And that's because there's something in that thing called apostleship that God can count on from earth to heaven and heaven to earth. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. Glory to God. And the one thing you need to know is when people are confused about God's righteousness, God has to come in and do it himself. He said, my own arm, my right arm will get my battle. Now, go back to the broadcast I had a couple of Tuesdays back talking about Melchizedek and God airdropping his own civilizations into the planet. Let me tell you, since I've given that word, have we not seen some turnarounds? Come on, people. I know I've seen some turnarounds because God was not trusting us. Isn't it nice to know that God doesn't trust us mortals? He loves us, but he don't put all his eggs in our basket because he knows we get overwhelmed, we whatever. But go back and listen to that. You leaders play that again and again because God airdropped his own civilization into the planet to make this thing happen. He said, I want what I want. And every time God gets ready to take, he muscles in on the enemy, he pushes in, he literally shoulders him out with the sovereignty, and he's doing that right now. I'm telling you, glory to come on, sugar time. Come on, it's sugar time. Uh-oh. We're sugar time. It's sugar time. We got to sugar up the king. Yes, he's worthy. Yes, he's a worthy God. Yes, I know. And you know, I do this by myself. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I act just as crazy. The Lord is a witness. I'll sugar him up at 3:30 in the morning. It's all right. Come on, sugar time. It's time to sugar up Jesus, you know, because Jesus is a sugar. And he's my sugar, and he should be yours. And if not, by the time you get done with me, he will be. So God is not leaving this up to us, but we have got to be trained, because we've got to be trained to cooperate with the help he sent. We've got to be trained to recognize what he's doing and how to do our part in, and we've got to be trained to be the lead behind peacekeeping force, power-keeping force that does not make God's labor in vain. You know I'm just saying, come on here. I know these folks, but come on, y'all are messing with my people. The camera folk can't even get a thing done, but that's all right. Woo. Wait a minute, I just, this shitty. I'm sorry. I'm going to be all right, but you know what? The Lord just felt, I think he just felt like he needs a little love right now. I just think, oh, come on, somebody. We got to love him up. Woo. Sugar pie, Jesus. My. Hallelujah. Yeah, I act crazy for Jesus. And you know what? Before I was crazy without Jesus and I had pills and drugs. Now I'm crazy for Jesus. I'm healthier than I ever been. that man's a honey, you know he's a honey. That's right. I tell him too. So I know those of you all think I do this for you. I don't. Every now and then he knows it. That's why he can get me act like this, because he knows I will. Hallelujah. He knows. I can count on that woman. That woman's going to love me up. Can he say that about you? That son is going to love me up. That daughter's going to love me up. That preacher's going to love me up. That apostle's going to love me up. That prophet's going to love me up. That evangelist's going to love me up. I want you to know, God wants to know, are you one of those who's going to love him up? Because he said, I need it. Because you know what? Faith works by love. And the more you love on him, the more you don't have to ask about your faith. Just love on him, honey, because if you got enough faith to love him, you got enough faith for anything else you want. All right, let me see. Come on back. I'll share that over. The glory of God has fallen down up in this place. Oh, my God. Help me. Woo! Come on, sugar pie Jesus. All right. Page 132. Don't start. Behave. God's righteousness is non-negotiable. You know, God is a God of righteousness. And the reason he raises up his kingdom, because God's kingdom is the only one that has his righteousness in the earth. And he needs that his kingdom in you and his kingdom of heaven in the planet. It is us that establishes his righteousness. You realize how much you're tired of how things are happening? You can say this is wrong and that's wrong. We've been saying that about a lot. Look at how crazy our planet has gotten. And all we have is people doing all these wrong things, unjust votes, unearned rewards, and all of those kinds of things. Do you know that was the world before Jesus took it over? And our job is to get it back to that righteousness again. Romans 14:17. And Ephesians 5:10 have several things in common. The two that stand out the most are the Holy Spirit and God's righteousness. Not changing from the Exodus to the New Testament, God declares that he is holy, and those to be with him forever must be holy as he is holy. Holiness is the essence and context of heaven. It is the substance of its citizens and the climate of their world. That holiness includes a non-negotiable righteousness that God defines, not our culture, its courts, or our times. If you happen to be one of those who mistake mercy for grace and our God's imputed righteousness for unchecked Christian liberty, you should read 2 Corinthians 7:1. There it says that your spirit and flesh can be made filthy. That filth, if left uncleansed, will deteriorate your new creation spirit the way rebellion and unbelief cost Lucifer his divine nature and his heavenly home, and also the way Adam's disbelief cast him out of his pristine habitation. Take a lesson from these two events. See that you do not convince yourself that God will not send you to hell because he loves you too much. Besides the Lord hating sin and not wanting it in his presence ever again, you should know that he loved Jesus long before he saved you, yet he still sent Jesus to hell for the sin that he himself put upon him. Imagine the holiness of God being so inviolable that even his first begotten son, co-creator and sovereign of creation, could not get back into his heavenly birthplace, sin-ridden. That is what John's gospel records Jesus addressing. See John 17:5 and cross-reference it with Acts 2:22. So I think we covered that. Wasn't that good reading? Did you like that? Because you see, apostles and prophets have come in two flavors and two flavors only, Jesus and satanic, the end. Last Thursday, I introduced the subject of Jezebel prophet. So we need to know that. We might go back to that this week. Prophet Ashley has been really working me over. Some of you have been working her over, so she's working me over. So we probably will revisit that this Thursday. But I want to let you know that you need to recognize that God is holy, not because of it's a behavior. He tells us to be holy in conduct because he is converting our soul, our substance, to his holiness. You know, the one thing that we don't think about is that God has a civilization. Those people are strong. All those people are strong. You know, we can't go there with our little frail stuff and our little mixed views and our whatever, because they're like, are you kidding? They're going to look at us stupid. And that's if we get close to them. Because, see, that just like in your neighborhood, you want certain people in and certain people out. I know we can't say it publicly because it's not politically correct to say it, but it is politically correct to pursue it. So, anyway, between heaven and dirty and filthy and sinful. Don't think that. Because, see, that's where we're stuck. God also has to answer their prayers, too. Because, see, they fought to restore their world. Oh, I'm so not shadow. You know that's good. See, we keep thinking it's all just about the Godhead. But no, it's about the Godhead. It's about all those angels that fought with him to regain their land. It's about all of the citizens that suffered and all of them that didn't sell out. It's about all of them who had to be a part of the cleanup crew after the Luciferian revolt and had to help get their world back into. See, it's not just about God's law. It's not just about Bible. It's not just about scripture. It is about that whole culture, that whole world. And just like there are certain countries that don't want certain things in them and stop you at the gates. We're talking about we don't know we're going to get stopped at the gate. We get stopped at the gate every time we get off going to customs somebody else's land. Where'd they get that idea from? Okay? So don't act like that. If there are countries and nations that say we don't want you here, and then they'll put you out of their country, and if you have a reputation or you've been proven to be dangerous to their land or contrary to their philosophy and their ideology, they don't let you in. Is that right or is it right? So, and you think the Almighty has no choice when all of these systems are based on what he rejected? So God is more than God, is more than Jesus Christ. Those people don't want to live next door to sinners either. We don't want to live next door to criminals. They don't want to live next door to sinners. You see how that's working out? And it's difficult because we've heard this gospel that God is so loving, and he's just weeping and crying, and he just, oh, poor thing. And in the end, he's just going to say, you poor little thing, you couldn't help yourself. But you know what? He didn't say it to Jesus, so he can't say it to you. And Jesus was his first begotten son. And he couldn't say, Jesus, all those stripes. You didn't do anything to deserve those stripes. Oh, that's so bad. Oh, Jesus, you didn't do, oh, my goodness. No, he didn't say, okay, son, come on home. He was like, hey, son, I love you. You better trust me that I can get you out. But in order to get you out of that beat-down, tore-down body, that raggedy, mangled body, and that destroyed, sin-ridden soul, I got to leave it in the landfill for souls that are unsuitable for my world. Hell is God's landfill. So that's where he sends. He sends the bodies, the mangled, tore bodies to the dust, and he sends the souls to hell because he cannot bring them into his world. And here's something that you ought to know. If they can't survive, if they couldn't survive and stay alive on earth, they certainly can't survive eternal life. They couldn't even survive this mortal life. See, there are a whole lot of things that you just take for granted because they sound sweet emotionally, don't they? They sound so nice. Yeah, well, God's a loving father. Killed that, didn't I? Because you know he loved Jesus, and we know Jesus. God is Jesus' Father, and Father God sent Jesus' Son to hell. I'm not going to get off of that because somebody keeps telling that story wrong. And you know why they can tell it wrong? Hallelujah. They can tell it wrong because they took you out of the Bible. They took you out of the scriptures. I'm going to the thing now. Come on, get ready. I'm going to the screen. See, they took us out of scripture. Most of you all don't know Jesus went to hell. Half of you don't know if Jesus really came. And my question, my answer to you all, how do we know Jesus came, is this. Why are you calling his name? If he never came, his name should never be on your lips. We don't mention what's never been. You know, we don't talk about that. And the only people who mention what's never been are visionaries who are trying to make it so. And they make it so before they name it. So as long as we're talking about Jesus, as long as we're talking about Christians, as long as we're talking about Christianity, we got to know the man came because we have his name. And God said his name will never cease to be in creation. He gave him a name above every name and then gave him every name in that name, only God. Okay, ready? Ready to go? Developing your apostolic Christian mind, and I want to add mindset. You know, there is a mind that you should have as an apostolic Christian. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But let's just look at this. You know, I got some good stuff going on here. All right, making Christians apostolic. That's what this is all about. We're here every week to make Christians apostolic. Now, I said to you last week and a couple of weeks before that, and I'll repeat it as we start letting you read the screen, because I know you all want to read this, but I said to you that many of you stopped being evangelical years ago. Not only were those of you who are following the prophetic, those of you who have moved over to the apostolic or apostleship, not only that, but those of you who said, I'm tired of church as it is, you stopped being evangelical. I'm tired of the same service. I'm tired of the games. I'm tired of the magic and smoke and mirrors. I'm tired of all of that. Though you had, that was a statement of you being done with being an evangelical Christian in the classic modern context. I'm not talking about the soul-winning piece. I'm talking about the actual context. So you stopped being apostolic a long time ago. So how do I know that? Because I'm evangelical because I'm here. God himself said, well, they sitting home waiting for me to give them the next order. Half of you all are sitting home waiting for the next thing God tells you to do. You're not going to church. You're not going here. You're not going there. Making Christians apostolic. All Bible-based Christians start out apostolic. I'm going to say this every week because we need to get clear on this. Apostolic Christians founded and populated the early church and changed the world. Apostolic Christianity established Jesus' faith in all the world. Apostolic Christianity did that. You may have been ready to move into apostolic Christianity and not realize it. As I just said to you, apostolic Christians are word-focused. You're born by the word of God. You're Christ-centered. You're kingdom-minded. Hallelujah. Your Holy Spirit governs, and you are Bible-driven, motivated. The fact that they could take the Bible out of churches, I mean, first of all, we took them out of school. Nobody thought they'd get you all to get them out of the churches, but they did. And you know why they did? Because it was all about the population and the people and not about God himself. Moving on. So let's just understand how this thing works. Jesus, King Jesus' divine service realms, apostle, royal realm, prophet, divine realm. Hallelujah. And then church ministers at large, civilian realm. So apostles are about the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus himself said that. He told them it's all about kingdoms for them. They didn't have a choice. There was no church. There was no church for it to be about church for them. So it was about kingdom. You understand that? See, we didn't realize that. So if you look at the screen, it says apostles. Our emphasis is the royal realm of God, representing the king, representing the throne of God, representing the kingdom of God. Prophets, divine realm, about the laws of God. Remember, prophets brought us the law and maintained the law of Moses. And then church ministers, civilian realm. These are people who were concerned about the people of God. When you hear about it a lot, how many pastors say, well, you know, it's about the people. Well, you know, the people don't like it, and the people don't, and the people, and the people, and the people. Oh, God, help the people under the steeple. Ways people perceive and respond to God. You're going to like this. This is very good because this is information that you need. Now, you notice I say it to you every week. You can go back and watch this again and again and again. You can go to Facebook, Periscope, and I don't know wherever else. I think YouTube. Am I right? Okay. So you have a lot of places to go back and take your people through it and take your class through it. So let's look at some of the ways people perceive and respond to God. It's important that we do that. Okay? First one, people start off, they respond to God inspirationally. It's an emotional feeling. I'm just looking for a spiritual experience, a spiritual feeling. This is the majority of the people today in any religion in the collective world, okay? And now that thing has passed on to the church. The next one, initiation. Okay, well, you know, I'm turning 40. It's time for me to start getting my life right with God. So it becomes a personal faith, and it's a result of exploration. I've kind of checked out this and checked out that, and this is where I end. And then we have the institutional person. This person is just about religion. It's just, you know, I mean, you know, you need to believe in something. That's it. And these are the people that tell you any religion works. There's any way to just, you know, don't you like when people say they're all roads to God? How many rows are they to your heart? Your heart sits in one place. Your brain sits. Your doctor does not say, okay, well, I'm getting ready to do heart surgery. Let me start at your feet and work on a few toes. That's not how it works. And so you, we have one more, so get ready for it. But you need to know that that doesn't matter. There may be a lot of roads to get to a church. There may be a lot of words that will persuade a person to get on the right path. But when the thing says you are here, you are here. And so God is a person. And this idea that, well, there's a lot of roads to God, not to the God that's going to give you eternal life. He only gave us one map, one road, one highway, one map. And you know why? Because he didn't want a crowd and he wanted to filter. See, when you go to customs, you know, they give you that one line. You cannot bum rush those people. Last one. Individual, God is a living being, so you deal with him sovereignly. God is, in other words, in your mind, God has a right to call the shots. He has the right to say what is and isn't. Anybody who says, I'm the Ancient of Days, you realize we're born into God's world. God's not born into our world. It's really funny because when we get born again, we act like God just got to the planet. No, God's a busy God, and he's been at it a long time. Okay, let's go to the next one. So, how they took us out of God's word. It's important that you recognize how they did it. Because we'll do it again. God's going to recover. God's about to recover a lot of things. And he's going to recover. Will you be any better than your predecessors? Will you be able to keep that which has been entrusted to you? God said that to apostles over and over again. He said, keep that which has been entrusted to you. Paul said, I got to keep this. That means steward, guard, maintain, shepherd, shield, protect. Now look at the screen. It says John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God and his Word are one, and they both started out at the same time in the beginning. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of whatever. You understand that God is the beginning of nothing. He's the end of nothing, and he's the beginning of nothing. We couldn't even have a word, because in order for there to be nothing, there has to be something to compare with it to let us know nothing is there. And so God is the beginning of all things. Daniel 10:21, I want you to get to this one. This is a powerful phrase, and I want you to get it. Gabriel's talking to Daniel, and he's showing Daniel things to come. And this is after the 21-day prayer, fasting thing. And Gabriel says, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your priest. Now, if we were having a discussion roundtable right now on that passage, I want you to know we would be having a blast. I mean, we would say a lot of things. First of all, he's telling you scripture of truth. Where is the scripture of truth that Gabriel has to bring to earth? Huh? Where is it? Because obviously the book of Daniel had not been written because Daniel's receiving it. He's recording whatever he's recording, but Daniel is receiving it. The visions that Gabriel was showing, those are not in scripture yet. Those were not there. They had to be brought to earth. Do you know that every time God wants to do something in the planet, he's got to come to the planet to do it? How did we get the Ten Commandments? How did we get them? God came to the planet to give us Ten Commandments. How did we get the angel talking in the bush? God had to come to the planet because he's getting ready to deliver his people. So he had to do it himself. He did not trust Moses. Come on, one man and a wayward brother and a gossipy sister. Come on, somebody. Woo! He couldn't have done it, so he had to do it himself. And when you read Deuteronomy, it says that God came to the earth with tens of thousands of his own saints. He brought his own saints with him then. He always does. Whenever God shows up in the planet to get something done, he brings his saints with him. Oh, really? Yeah. You know, that wonderful cloud that followed them all day long, you know, God, that was an embassy for God. They had a ship up in there. They had all God's spiritual resources that he created it, and it was a detachment he sent to earth. Yeah, right. They didn't need a cloud. I mean, come on. And so he's following them, and then they've got this pillar of fire. Because why? Because God, where else did the angels come from that were doing a battle for him? Well, where did they come from? They came with God. You know, You know, well, the angel smote the whole Syrian army. Yeah, right. Jesus comes to the planet, brings God's sentence with him. And he comes as a little babe, and the heavens open, and they're in this realm. And they're not in their realm, wherever that is. They're in this realm, heavens open, and they're singing, and it's a crowd of angels. What are they doing? They're hanging out, looking out, saying, wow, this is going to be a great drama. We need to watch it unfold. No, they were a part of making it unfold. When Jesus finished his 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, guess what? It was an angel that came to strengthen him. Jesus said, I could call 12 legions of angels. Where were they? Come on. So he wasn't alone. He kept saying, I'm not alone. He said, I know y'all think I'm alone because you all can't see who came with me. Okay, are you ready? Okay, sugar time. Come on. We got to love him for this. He is amazing. So God has always come to the planet, and he doesn't come alone. When he came to pack up and he was leaving the region of Israel, he came to pack up. They talk about all of the angels. He came to pack him up to get him up out of here. In Ezekiel, Zechariah. See, but you know what? You can't have courage in God if you don't read his word. You can't have courage in God because you listen to somebody telling you it's poetic. If that's the case, your soul is poetically saved. And you are going to be allegorically with God forevermore. That sounds a little too uncertain for me. Whenever people say that, I say, well, how are people to know what pieces should they believe in as a hope and what pieces they should not? Because my Bible says the scriptures are to give us hope, a living hope. So what should you hope in? You should hope that the poem rhymes, that it rhymes well, that the rhythms are good, that the cadence is good, that the pulse is good. What are you supposed to hope in? You were either saved by a poem or you were saved by a God. You were saved by a similitude or you were saved by a Savior. Now, just because people messed up the scriptures, I mean, you know, they do a lot of stuff. We got some things, they danced around, murkied up some word, picked out the simplest synonyms and the most deceptive synonyms they could have. That's fine. But you know what? Before there was a Bible, there was a Holy Ghost. And the early church was saved by the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God bears witness. Because God did not, God doesn't leave this up to humanity. Remember, the Holy Ghost had to come to the planet for the church to be born. And the Holy Spirit keeps the church. And they can talk all day long about we getting rid of the church. And not because the Holy Ghost is not leaving. He will tear up your planet before he leaves. You cannot drive him out of his planet. And you need to know that. So you listen to all of this stuff. No, the Holy Spirit is like this. God could have stopped a lot of things, but you know what he couldn't stop? Our unbelief. It was the unbelief of his church, and it was the defection of its leaders that got us here, which is why you got churches that are having all kinds of crazy going on in there. And those, I'm telling you, those are not ministers of the gospel. When I get after the Jezebel spirit, we're going to go into the Jeroboam priest, because you need to understand who is in the pulpit. Who's in the pulpit? Who's preaching at you? Oh, hallelujah. Now, moving on, because I stay there, I'll get caught up. Now, I got a lot of scriptures here. Just let me read them. They're going to turn them to you, but you know, unless they can get you to see them. But it's Romans 1:2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Prophets of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophet, not the Jezebel one, not the Nicolaitan one, not the Balaam one. Come on, help! I'm trying to get there for you, helping you. Prophets gave us God's word and his scriptures. And you will not know your mantle, and you will not know the office without the scriptures, because the scriptures define the office, and the scriptures literally manage you and your office. So we need that. Romans 4:3, for what saith the scripture? Now, the prophets are talking about giving scripture. That's beforehand. Again, we're talking about how far back the word of God goes. Let's look and see how far back it goes. It goes back pretty far. Romans 4:3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And if you look at Galatians 3:8 that goes with that, it says that the scriptures preached to Abraham. But we're going to get there. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, not your testimony. Not your testimony, not your experience, not your favorite whatever novel, not your love story. I'm telling you it's according to the scriptures because the scriptures have the power of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy, which are the holy scriptures. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Here it is, Galatians 3:8. And this, listen, guys, this is good. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen or the unsaved, the Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee all nations shall be blessed. Now, I'm telling you, because this is too important for us to just let go, you need to understand that God himself, God wants you to know his word is how he's done everything. I'm going to Galatians because this is too important for us to miss. So when I read this, there is, in the scripture, I'm going to read this because I like to read it in another translation just for the sake of. But this one here, ISV, the International Standard Version, says, because the scriptures saw ahead of time, I'm done. The scriptures were living with Abraham. Oh, man, we didn't have a Bible with Abraham, right? Because Abraham wasn't even serving God. Abraham had just come out of Ur of Chaldea and serving as a Babylonian prophet. And he must have been a significant one for scripture to remember that because he was a prophet. Because remember, when the king wanted to sleep with his wife, God said, hey, but he's a prophet. So because the scripture saw ahead of time that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, it announced the gospel to Abraham beforehand when it said, through you, all nations will be blessed. That is why we can honestly say that those that we were in Christ and we were in God's world before it all began. Now tell me, is that good or what? Is that good? Now you know that sugar time. Come on, you know that sugar time. Gotta love them up. Hallelujah. Gotta love them up. Okay, they're telling me I'm running low on time. Just give me a moment because I want to get to, hold on. Because you know I got to get to the point of the point. Hallelujah. All right. There we go. Now, Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, listen, this is why you need to know the scripture. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Remember, I said God has a non-negotiable righteousness. I've been doing this for a long time. You know what I realized? People love God and want to get it right, but if you get caught up in a church who doesn't believe in teaching the Bible or a leader who hasn't yet cracked the seal on it, you know what? You'll grow up in God, but you'll be like a kid that grew up underprivileged. You are deprived of the scriptures of God, so you are underprivileged in the kingdom's doctrine and thus the kingdom's inheritance. You know that was good. You know that was good. Now, let me finish this, how to view the Old Testament, because when I come back again, we're going to talk about where your wild preachers and ministers came from. I found them in the Bible. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Are we still getting the fact that there is a long thing? So these scriptures came from God's world, which Gabriel brought and the other angels brought. If you read Hebrews, it says the angels mediated the old covenant. So these scriptures that they're trying to tell you don't matter, and the scriptures that they're trying to tell you are dated, and that you don't need them. The only one that's going to tell you that is a priest of darkness. I don't care how much they talk in tongues. Don't worry about it. I just got through watching a show, one of the shows on television, because you know I like to know what they're doing out there. And this guy talked in tongues, lights came on, flashed all these signs, and you know what? He still wasn't about Jesus Christ. Romans 16:26, now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for obedience of the faith. You need to recognize the Old Testament was about a single nation. The New Testament is about all nations. Prophets were about a single nation. Apostles about all nations. So the church is all nations. And you need to recognize that. You need to understand where we are. Now, I won't go into that because next week when we come back together, I want to talk to you about where these wild preaching things came from. Because you guys love God. You absolutely love Him. You will do anything God wants if you just knew. But you've been so raked over the coals and so deceived and so manipulated and maneuvered and whatever, you don't trust anything again. And that's a normal response to a child that's been abused. And you all have been abused. And you've been taught to abuse, you know, because hurting people hurt people. You know, hurting sheep will hurt shepherds. Hurting shepherds will hurt sheep. You see how that works out? Because hurting people hurt people. You know, bloody people bleed on people. That's just the way it is. And so we have got to get you to a point where you're well enough to believe God in that, again, and to be used by Him. Some of you all want God to do great things for you, but you don't listen to Him. You're not used by Him. You can't even, God can't even talk straight to you. Your feelings get hurt. You get mad. Everything is hard because we are not even strong enough, tough enough for God to be honest and straight. You know, I applaud you all for joining me every week. I do applaud you all. You can ask Prophet Ashley, she'll say, I applaud you all because you're tough Christians. But apostolic Christians are tough. They're not really crybabies. They'll have their little midnight weeps, but they are tough Christians. They are people who are tough because they're born of tough stuff, born of the toughness of God. And you know what makes them tough? It is not because they're just, you know, of willpower. It's about that truth. You're made of 100% pure heaven to earth truth. And anything truth, anything full strength is full strength and it's true. It's the true version. It's the true texture, the true mixture. You are born of the seed of God. And so that's why you're different. You are with me every week because you are an apostolic Christian. You may not understand what it means, but we're getting ready to talk about it. I've got my colleague on the line. We're getting ready to talk about it again, Apostle Dwan Wallison, and she's going to tell you a little bit about our call to action because it's important. Are you there? Are you ready to talk to me?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Very clearly.
Very clearly. Very good. Very good. You know, you never know where I'm going to call in from.
And so you're in New York now, right? Aren't you in New York?
New York. I'm back in Florida. I'm back in Florida, but guess what? I go to Baltimore this weekend. So I left New York, I'm here, and then I go to Baltimore next weekend, this weekend. But all is well.
Bless the Lord.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying right now.
So let's talk about what you want to share with our viewers and listeners tonight.
All right. Very good. Here's what I want to share. I want to really commend and congratulate all the apostles and apostolic leaders who have done exactly what we've asked them to do, which is making sure that they text us and let us know that they want to be a part of this new apostolic army that we're building and training. So, again, let me commend everyone right now for doing that. But I also want to say that we need more of you to join us. And what are we talking about? We're talking about pulling all of the apostles together and those apostolic leaders who know that you are indeed called to build the apostolic Christians and to get nurtured yourself so that you can do it the right way. And so Dr. Price and I have been talking about pulling you apostles together, apostolic leaders together, so that we can talk to you privately and so that we can also create some times of leadership, apostolic leadership training just for you. And so I'm glad to say that many of you have done that, but we need many more of you to continue to do that as well. And you simply use the keyword apostleship and you text it to 80123. Again, you text the keyword apostleship and you text it to 80123. And let me give you a tip. If it doesn't go through the first time, that just means that you're probably really supposed to be a part of this, so try again and be and persevere through that. I had a couple of people inbox me personally and say, I did it, and my wife did it, and it didn't go through, but we want to make sure that our numbers are down, so please put us down. I said, oh, that just sounds like a little warfare. It's clearly you're supposed to be on there, and they said, yes, they agree. So, again, don't give up if all of a sudden it just doesn't take it because we are getting them in. That just means that maybe you have to try a little bit harder. All right, Dr. Price.
All right, so here's what I want you to do. Why are we doing this? Well, I've been teaching this for a while, and many of you have said, how do we get more training? How can I get more information? How can I become a part of it? And so we want to give you that information. And there are things that I'd like to share with you and hear from you that just this particular venue does not lend itself to. So if you're an apostle and you're apostolic, you want to know, let's do this. Some of you want to know, okay, well, how can I get you in my region? Well, I don't know if I can do it, this or that. If we can show you how to get me in your area, how to get me in your church, how to have us bring the team to you to help shift your church to apostolic Christianity. You know, the point that I'd like to bring out is this. I've said every church I go to, when I go to an apostles' church or an apostolic church or I go to a church that's moving into, transitioning to, I keep saying that the reason that this thing has been stalled is because we don't have enough of you. No group, no movement, no brand, no product will make it without the people because there are going to be more people who to be discipled than there are disciplers right now. We can't do this without you. And when I wrote my first book, the one thing that I said was that for all of the tables, I sat around a lot of tables, we all hammered through, we did some great meetings. I mean, it was powerful, God moved everything. And you know what? We forgot you. We forgot you, the Christian. So we left you evangelical while we became apostolic. And so we were confused as you were confused. And you were confused because you thought, this is nothing like I know, and this is not like this church, this can't be church. I mean, it's not God. And you went off because we forgot to lay it out for you. That is why you're calling this number. That is why you're texting. And that is why we're giving you this invitation to become a part of this call where we talk about this and help you face through it. I have gone in and said, well, you know, I had to give up that apostolic thing because, well, I mean, people started leaving, folks started taking their money and on and on and on. And you know what I said? That's because you shifted and left your people. Huh. You know? And so, I mean, you have to do you realize that when companies roll out new products, they have to still train the consumer? And you are like our consumers, if you will, our buyers, our supporters, and we didn't train you. And so what happened was we started behaving apostolically, decreeing apostolically, and you started panicking evangelically. And that did not work.
So you know what?
Let me finish this thought because I know she's going to get it. Because, you know, we talk about this all the time. Just let me just say this one thing. I want you to recognize we're listening. You're here because you're ready to shift. Let us tell you how. Apostle Duane.
Yes, and you know, I'm going all over the place because that's exactly what we've been dealing with here in Jacksonville, and it's hard to explain. And our ministry is very unique in that, you know, we had to merge some ministries together just because of our different callings and what have you. But exactly what Dr. Price is talking about is exactly what we saw and see here, and it's hard for even your leaders to fathom as to why people are leaving that thing or why all of a sudden they're panicking and leaving and what have you. And so part of that is making sure that they're trained at the right level, and I really thank God for this new well, yeah, it's a new move that's coming, starting with Dr. Price, because now I feel and I know that we have something tangible that our congregants can see and that we can help them build upon. But it's so important that we as leaders and as apostles and even some pastors who are transitioning to the apostolic, that you have a good base and a foundation, so when the questions start coming to you, you can actually explain it as other than some move of God that they can't comprehend.
That's excellent.
And so,
that is
excellent. And we have these, like you said, we have these conversations all the time, weekly, and I talk to people all the time, and then I get my concerned congregants coming to me too, saying, hey, what's going on? I said, really, it's fine. But there's another level of instruction that we're missing, but it's also important that you recognize where your people are and where they are not, and then how to get them to where you know they're supposed to be. And if you know they're supposed to be somewhere, and you know also that you need a coach, mentor, or even for, you know, I'm not going to even say for lack of a better term, I'm just say what I know, or even another level of apostolic covering, you've got to be willing to go to the next level yourself and say, it is this, and I need help. And one of the things I say all the time is that we as leaders and as apostolic leaders, apostles, pastors, one of the worst things that we have going for us is that many times we don't know how to say that we need help.
Well, and we've been talked out of it because, remember, we had the long range of ministry doctrine for so long, we forgot that we were all one. So that's been a problem. I want to say to you again, the last piece I want to say before I have her give you that information again, the last thing I want to say to you is this. It is not just the doctrine. It is not just the form. It's not just the worship. It's also the warfare. It's also the defenses. It's also the insights. It's also knowing the lay of the land and territory, all of that. I have put over 30 years of my life into this. I have literally researched for hours and hours, thousands and thousands of pages. No joke, not an exaggeration, thousands and thousands of pages of text to help shift the kingdom. Not just the local church here and whatever, but to help shift the kingdom into this thing in a way that's safe, where you don't have to lose your membership and you don't have to lose money, because people are basically loyal. Your sheep love you. They want to stay with you. You just have to learn how to give them good enough reasons to handle this transition. Apostle DeJuan, give them that information one last time. We have about 3 minutes, so we can get that information one last time so we can make sure everybody has it.
Okay, very good. So you're going to text the word apostleship. That's the key word. Text the word apostleship, APOSTLESHIP, to the number 80123. There are no spaces in the number. There are no spaces in the keyword. So you simply go to your text space on your phone at the very top, type in 80123, and in the message portion, type the word apostleship, all one word, and hit send, and we'll put you on the list and let you know when we're going to do that initial first meeting as well. And let me, Dr. Price is coming to, where are you coming? You're coming to Jacksonville. She's coming to Jacksonville at the end of September as well, so we want to make sure you guys know that. But do this, do this, do this, and the numbers are going up, Dr. Price. I see them going up, so they're listening.
Good.
And they're blessed. Yeah, and they're not just listening, they're acting. They're acting. They're moving. They're moving.
Excellent. Excellent. They're moving up. And so, and listen, thank you guys. This will be well worth it. Have your networks do it. Have your followings do it, just churches. This is worth it, people, because you have to know the inner thing. When you're dealing with someone who has an expertise in something, they don't give everything to the open class. There is that closed session that they set up where only those who can handle what they want to say and do something positively with it are invited. Okay, we're running out of time. I've enjoyed this. This has been a blast. Let's spend the rest of the time giving Jesus his due sugar. He's a sugar love. But come on and love on him. We will be back on Thursday for the Paula Price Show. Capitol, and then we will be back again Thursday night with Prophetic Ed. Until then, pass this on, pass it on, pass it on, and text us because we want you to be a part. God bless you, and good night.
Good night.
God bless you. Thank you, woman of God. Good night.
Thank you.